My dear brother priests and deacons, sisters and brothers in Christ. Just a little over a week ago, I returned to Philadelphia from Rome, where I attended the Synod of Bishops on the Family. And one of the things we talked about during the Synod was the role of widows in the church. You know, the family synod reflected not only on young married couples, but also what happens in families when people get older. And one of the things that almost always happens, is that one of the spouses is left behind. And more commonly, it's the woman rather than the man, because you women live longer than we do. You know, God has blessed you or favors you in some ways, I guess. But so widows are common today, and they were common in the early church. Now, I want to ask a question. How many of you in the congregation this evening are widows? Okay. Now, it's kind of a young group, so there aren't a whole lot of you here, but there are a number of widows. So the heroes in today's first reading and today's gospel are widows. So the Lord is probably asking you who are widows here to be heroic witnesses of the gospel in our time. So let's look at today's scripture readings and see what the widows tell us. The first reading is from the Old Testament, first book of Kings. And the prophet Elijah, who is speaking God's word in the early days of the Jewish people in their kingdom, has passed on the word that God, in his disfavor because of the sins of the people, is going to bring a famine and a drought upon them. And that's what's happening here. There's no rain. And so he comes to this Sidonian town, a town of pagans, and he sees a widow woman there collecting some wood for a fire, and he asks her for a cup of water, which she goes to get him. And as she's on his way, he says to her, "While you're at it, please bring me something to eat, some bread." And then she tells him a very sad story. She says, "We don't have much at home. All that's left is a handful of flour and a little bit of oil, and I was about to cook the last meal that I can possibly prepare for myself and for my son." Now, she was a poor widow. You know, in those days, women did not have the right of inheritance. So when the man of the family would die, the husband would die, the property went to the son, if there was a son. If not, it went to the male family members. And so widows, in some sense, were a symbol of the least powerful members of the community, those who were in great need. So here's this widow woman who's very poor. Additionally, she has a son, and they are starving. Now, we know that the love of mothers for their children is sometimes ferocious. So you can imagine how this woman felt. This prophet of God wanted to take the last food she had, not so much for herself, but for her poor son, and he wanted it for himself. And he tells her, "Don't worry. Fix me something first." It's kind of, men always want to be fed first, right? "And then take care of yourself and your son. And if you do this, God will bless you." Well, this poor widow woman makes an act of trust in God, gives all that she has, and then we're told at the end of the reading, she left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and he and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. She gave everything, and God blessed her. Now, this reading prepares us for today's gospel. Now, Jesus begins the gospel talking about people like me. He's talking about the scribes, who were the experts in the law. And by the law, the scriptures don't mean legal matters in law courts, but the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the law of God, which was what God expected from his people. You know, God in his covenant promised to be their God, and they would be his people, and they would follow the commands that God had given them. So this scribe was a theologian who was responsible to teach the people what was in the Torah. They weren't allowed to get money for their teaching, so they depended very much on donations and free will offerings from the people. Some of them were good and some of them were bad. You know, we hear stories about good scribes sometimes in the New Testament, but in this particular case, Jesus says some pretty tough things. This is what he said. "Beware of the scribes, beware of bishops," he says here, "who like to go around in long robes," I really feel guilty when I read these things, "and accept greetings in the marketplace." Everybody's really nice to a bishop when he goes shopping. "Seats of honor in the synagogue." Look at that one. There's no better seat of honor than this one. "And places of honor at banquets." People always fix me salmon when I go eat. I don't like salmon, by the way, but that's what people fix me. Because it's something really special, right? And then he goes on to say about them, "They devour the houses of widows and as a pretext recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." Now, this is a call to integrity, you know. There's nothing wrong with having a seat of honor or wearing long robes as long as your heart is not in the wrong place. And they used all of this as a pretext in order to get something for themselves. But it is a special warning to people like bishops and politicians and important business people and the like. You know that you can let that get to your head and it gets in the way of your integrity and your honesty. So we need to take that warning. But the heart of today's gospel for us is the story of another widow. Now, after saying this, Jesus sat down outside the temple and paid attention of who was bringing the offerings for the treasury. That would be like Jesus coming in here in about 10 minutes when the collection's being taken up, and he looks to see what you're putting in the collection basket. So he's looking at that, and he notices that a lot of very wealthy people were putting in big gifts in the treasury. But unlike those standing around, he also notices a little person, somebody who's not important. And in this case, again, she's a widow, has no security, as we heard earlier. And Jesus saw that this poor widow put two small coins worth a few cents into the treasury. Now, scripture scholars tell us that the coins were called lepta. They were the smallest of the copper coins that were used in exchange. They were the smallest coins in circulation. A lepta, according to the scripture scholars, was 1/400th of a shekel. So it was worth almost nothing. She had two of them, and she dropped them into the treasury. Now, when Jesus said this, it says he called his disciples to himself. So that would be Jesus gathering us around him in a moment like this. We want to be his disciples. And he said to them, "Amen," which we know means this is true, pay attention. "I say to you, this poor widow put more than all the other contributors to the treasury." Now, she didn't put very much in, and she put in almost worthless coins. But he says she put more than all the other contributors. "For they have contributed from their surplus, but she from her poverty has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." She held nothing back, she gave everything. Now, this gospel story and the first reading are not lessons about how you should be generous in the collection today. I imagine some pastors preach that way this morning at Sunday Mass, because we're always looking for enough money to support the church and the ministries of the church, and that's very important. This isn't about money, it's about generosity. And what Jesus is telling us here is what God wants from us is everything, our very selves. St. Augustine, one of the great bishops of the early church, commented on this passage, and he said, what's more interesting about this reading than we notice at first is the fact that she had two of these small coins. If she had just one, St. Augustine said, she had to make a decision whether to give it or not. But she had two. So she could have decided to give nothing, to give one of the two and have something for herself, which is what most of us who think we're generous would do, right? But she gave everything. And that's what God wants of those of us who claim to be disciples. Now, none of us here are very much, right? We're like those little coins. We're not worth very much because everything we have is from God. But God wants everything, because that's how he loves us, right? He gave his only begotten Son on the cross, who gave everything, poured out his love and his life in the service of the community. And God wants the same from you and from me. So that's the lesson of today's gospel. But there are several other things I'd like to bring to your attention. One of the basic principles of Catholic life and Catholic social teaching is that nothing that we have is really ours. You don't own anything. What you have is given to you by God, and you're to be the stewards of his gifts, the channel by which he uses those gifts for you and for your family and for others. Now, wouldn't it change your life if every time you received a paycheck, you would sincerely say to yourself, this doesn't belong to me, this belongs to God, and I'm just the steward of his gifts. And then you would live your life managing those gifts after the pattern of his love. Nothing you have is yours. Everything is a gift. That's true about your possessions. It's true about your children even. You know, your children don't belong to you. They belong to God. And you have the duty to be good stewards, those of you who are parents, of your children, but you have to give them back to God in better condition than you received them, right, when they were born. We're stewards of all that we have rather than owners of what we have. A basic principle of Christian life and of Catholic social justice. A third point we might learn from today's gospel is the fact that it's important for us, if we want to live full and whole Christian lives, to notice the little people, especially the little people in the church. You know, we pay attention to important people and charming people and people who seem to have power. And Jesus paid attention to them as they were coming to the temple treasury. But he also paid attention to the little woman who was a widow who meant nothing in terms of powerful people of her time. And it was precisely her that Jesus holds up as the model of discipleship. Not the scribes, not the chief priests, not the politicians, not the leaders, but this poor widow. Now, I think that's true. You know, when you look at the Catholic Church and you look at the list of saints in the church, you'll see that many of those saints who were held up as models of Christian life were not very important in the way the world considers importance, right? But they made all the difference in the world because they were good. And they were generous and they were self-giving. So pay attention to the poor people of our church who come to Mass, who are faithful, who live ordinary lives, but live those ordinary lives with great generosity. And we can learn a lot from them. Perhaps they're our grandparents, or our uncle, or our aunt, or someone in the parish who's been around for a long time and is faithful in every way. Fourth point, I only have 5 points, so I only have 2 more to go. Fourth point is the role of widows. I mentioned at the beginning of Mass that at the Synod, we spent a little bit of time talking about widows and the importance of widows in the church. You know, they do a lot more than most other people, actually. Most of them are retired by the time, you know, when their spouses die. And if you go to church meetings, it's often the widows who are at the heart of the meeting, doing all the work of the church. And we need to be grateful for that. In the earliest days of the church, they were so important that there was a special grouping called the Order of Widows. You had the Order of Bishops, you had the Order of Deacons, the Order of Priests, and you had the Order of Widows, who were blessed because they were available to give certain and generous service to the church. I don't know if we're going to do that in the future, but we need to be grateful to the widows who work so very, very hard. So if you're a widow or just an older person, don't consider yourself useless. You know, you are the valuable people of the church who do so much for the rest of us. And the last point I'd like to make in the light of today's scripture readings, it's important for us to examine our conscience today on whether or not we care for the poor in the same way that God cares for the poor. The scriptures make it very clear that God has a preferential love for the poor, that he prefers the poor. He loves them in some sense differently, some would say more, than the rest of us. Now, why would that be the case? Well, look at your own lives if you have families. Who does your family pay the most attention to among the children? It's generally the one who needs the most help. You know, the ones who need the most help in some ways get the most attention and the most love. That doesn't mean our parents don't love all of us in the family, but if someone has a handicap or a special need, there's a certain kind of rush of love towards that person in our family. And that's true about the family of God. God has a special love for the poor, and he expects you and I to do the same. You know, God blessed the widow in the first reading and her son because they were poor and in need. Jesus loved this widow, this little woman in the gospel, in an extraordinary way because she was poor and simple. And you and I need to do the same. And we need to examine our love and our lives in the church and our care for the poor. So we had a lot of lessons in today's scripture readings. You know, may the Lord teach us to have the same kind of generosity and love as we see in those women. And we pray the Lord to bless our church today with many similar shining examples.